Lecture 5, Using Meditation to Unlock My Inner Wisdom. Lecture 5, I am the artist of my creation and of myself. With wisdom I think a thought, and with skill I craft the scene in which the thought is fulfilled. With universal oneness I show forth the genius from within me. Lecture 5, I am the artist of my creation and of myself. With wisdom, I think a thought, and with skill, I craft the scene in which the thought is fulfilled. With universal oneness, I show forth the genius from within me. Now, this is where we are as the artist. This is where we are as you are today. How are you today? In what attitude are you today? What is your meditative thought for today? How are you going to take, as our title is here, Using Meditation to Unlock My Inner Wisdom? All of us have within us a lot of genius, a lot of imagination, a lot of drive, a lot of fun, but we don't do anything with it. We don't do anything with it creatively. We don't do anything with it uncreatively. We just don't do anything with it because we are afraid. We are afraid. When I was 8 years old, my neighbor took me down to the Leighton Art School in Milwaukee, and I was to be the model. I was the model, and they all drew me. And they was very wise, you know, very wise of them. They all drew pictures of me. And she bought me a dinner at the Chop Suey place, and we had ice cream, and we had everything. You know. Man, I really made out. So we went to this Leighton Art School. And at the Leighton Art School, the room was filled with, maybe about 50 people, all studying art. And these were the early artists, the beginners. I mean, that's why they had a young figure. As they got better and better, they got the older figures and more less clothing. But I was the model for the young class, for these 50 people about. And so I sat up there on a chair, and I held something in my hand. I don't remember what it was. And as I was sitting there, they told me, just look natural, and you can look around if you want. You don't have to stay posed in one area, but just, you know, look around at what people are doing. And so I was looking around, seeing what people are drawing on their palettes. And some of them were very good, and some of them were very bad, very bad. They didn't know that I was a boy. They drew this box with arms sticking out on the side. You say, in art school they're doing this? Well, this was a class of people who wanted to be in art. And they were beginners, rank beginners. And in the class, the teacher was very generous. She said, well, you have shown that this is a figure. And so they drew my picture. And I was able to have about two or three copies of it that the better artists were able to give up and let me have. And the pictures that they drew were sort of real life, like a photograph. But all the others, I had a chance to see them, you know, look at them. Oh, yeah. Me. And it was quite something. But I didn't say me. I said, hey, that's neat. Thank you for drawing my picture. Thank you for drawing my picture. That's very nice. You know, it's very nice of you to draw my picture. And I was just 8. I mean, just like this kid here, you know, and going around having a good time. But these artists, they did not know how to draw. They were taking the class to learn how. And so to keep their interest, they had to have a live model, somebody that was a living thing, not a bowl of fruit or something like that, you know, but a living person And so I was up there. They would have been smart if they'd brought me and my dog both along, you know, because he would have been really the center of the picture. But they drew. Now, some of these people had never drawn before, and they drew beautifully because they put their heart into it. And they didn't try to do it the whole thing. They just tried to catch maybe my head or just my body, my outline, you know, just something to show that they were drawing a person. And they did such a caring job. You felt it. You felt it as they were, you know, painting, not painting, but drawing with just pencil, what do you call these, charcoal pencil, you know. And they drew me. But why did these people go to that class? Why did these 50 people, and often, and the class went on, and then they had new classes starting out too, because it was big school. And why did, right down the middle of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and why did they do that? They did that because people wanted to learn how to draw. People wanted to let something inside of them come out. They wanted to let the talent, the genius inside of them escape, you know, and be shown for what it can be. And they just had such a good time. I often thought I should have taken the course there too. But in our high school, we had drawing and we had all those things. So I had all those things that these other people never had had a chance to have because they were older people and they'd finished school and they'd never had an opportunity for art in their school. So many people have within them a feeling of a captured genius that they want to let out. And they don't know how to let it out. They want to let it free. They want to let it express itself. Now, you don't need to have a teacher. A teacher is nice. A teacher, more than anything else, sort of guides you along but doesn't teach you anything. How do you think that figure should look? How do you think it should be? How do you think that that boy should be there? You didn't put a coat on him, or you didn't put shoes on him, or something. How do you feel that he should be? And so they said how they felt. And they drew. And they drew very nicely. Well, my sister was an artist, and she bought me books on art. And I had the chance to learn art, too. But she bought me books on art because she knew I really had too many other hobbies, and I'd never get around to those books. And so later, when she wanted to borrow those books from me, because she's an artist, they'd still be fresh and new. They'd be untouched. And I loaned them to her. And I never saw them again. But, I mean, she gave it to me for her birth, my birthday, and then I gave it back to her when she wanted to borrow it. And that was fine. But she was an artist, and she was good. She did many things. But she was a traditional artist who drew and painted things more like a photograph, you know, more like a traditional way, not any flair or any magic in it like Leonardo da Vinci or any of the great painters might have had. But she painted, and she painted well, and she painted all of her life. And she didn't paint a lot, but she painted, and she was very proud of it. I never could quite get with her stuff because it didn't quite reach the realism that I wanted. My camera did me a better job than her paintbrush. But she wanted to paint. These 50 people wanted to paint. They wanted to express some genius that was within them. They didn't know what it was, but they felt there was something in them. And maybe art was a way. Maybe this is a way. Maybe that's a way. They're going to try all sorts of ways. And so they tried that. We, too, can try that because we have a desire within us to do many things. You know, many of the presidents of the United States, when they retire from the presidency and they retire from public life, they take up art. And you remember old Winston Churchill, when he retired as minister of, Prime Minister of England here, he took up art, and he did quite well. And of course, he was famous, and people wanted his art because he was famous. not because he was so good, but he was also good. And Grandma Moses, who in her 80s was painting very primitive pictures, but very charming. They had her heart in there, and they had a feeling, but they were very charming, very, very primitive. She became very famous. Someone saw her paintings and took them to a sale, and they sold, and they did a good promotion on her. And so she was famous and made a lot of money. But you see, we have within us, who knew that Granny Moses would have that talent? I mean, she had painted and stuck them in a box behind the piano and stuff like that because she had no use for them. She wanted to paint. She wanted to paint. And then some guy came in her house one time, and he says, "Oh, that's a lovely painting. May I have one? Can I buy one from you?" "Buy one? I'll give it to you. You're the first person who really wanted one." And he took it and showed it in the right places, and they had a showing for it, and it made her famous now. We all may not become famous if we go and try our talent or our genius, but at least we'll try our talent and genius. And trying our talent and genius, we'll come up with some beautiful things. We come up with some beautiful expressions of who we are inside. Because I had one woman in Lucerne, in Lugano in Switzerland, and she had a little boy. Her husband was a doctor, and she had two boys. One boy was ordinary, and the other boy was very sensitive boy. And the kids at school were chasing him around all the time, giving him a hard time. And they called me in to counsel and find out what the problem was. Well, I found out that the problem was that he had a friend. And this friend visited him often. And this friend visited him every time he'd come home from school after the kids would chase him and after he had no friends. So then he'd be in his bedroom and meet his friend. And his friend was a black cloud. Well, you know what that means. And so this friend that's a black cloud was guiding him, doing all sorts of, not bad things, but sort of dark things, you know, ugly things. And they didn't know what the problem was. They didn't know how to solve the problem. So I interviewed the mother and the father, and the father was okay. And the mother was okay, except the mother proudly showed me her paintings all over the house, and especially in this boy's bedroom. All over the house, she had her paintings. And in the boy's bedroom, she had this painting of this black witch type thing with a black background, really dark and really foreboding, you know, really terrible. And we talked, and I said to her, I said, "You know, if you would let me have that painting in his bedroom," I said, "I'd be very grateful." And so she was proud to do that. And she gave me the painting. And I took the painting and I put it in the closet. And within 2 days, that boy mellowed out. He didn't have this foreboding painting in his bedroom that was challenging him and tearing him down. You see, painting for the woman was a great expression, was a great outlet for her dark side, because she was she loved evil things, you know, pictures of ghosts and goblins and witches and devils and everything else like that. And she painted those things, and she got it out of her system, but it's all over the house. The older boy, he didn't pay any attention to it. He said, "That's mother's junk, you know, that's mother's junk." And he didn't put realism on it, but the boy, he was very sensitive. And his mother put the picture right in his bedroom, right over his dresser, where he'd see it every day. And it became very limiting to him. And so he wasn't able to do the things he wanted to do. Now, we all have the opportunity to express through our talent, with writing, with painting, with music. Like the kids, we see them with their heavy metal music, and we think to ourselves, "That's terrible." Well, that's too bad that you think that. We should think to ourselves, these children are seeking excitement and enjoyment in music. I see them with the music that is beneficial to them. They want music. I see them with music that's beneficial to them. We know the ancient paintings of the Terpsichorean gods where they're dancing in the meadow and they're drinking wine and they're just having a great old time, and that this was their way of doing the heavy metal stuff of their day. And of this day, it is with the type of music that's heavy metal and everything else that goes with it. We all have within us many drives to be talented, to express our artistic side. And sometimes the artistic side is not all that good, but most of the time the artistic side is very good. How do we channel our artistic side? How do we find out what it is in the first place? And then how do we channel that artistic side into a beneficial side for us? Well, the step is very easy. If you feel like drawing, draw. Take out a piece of paper and draw. If you take out a piece of paper and draw every time you think of your drawing, who knows? You hit the ball, and it goes to the wrong place, and you keep hitting it, and all of a sudden it starts going to the right place. You start drawing, your drawing is lousy, it's nothing, so what? Draw. You throw it away yourself, you know, but or even keep it, show your periods of development. But draw. Draw and express yourself, and then, okay, what does this drawing try to portray? What is it trying to show? Is it showing happiness? Oh, hey, that's nice, you know. Is it showing genius? Hey, that's great, too. Is it showing imagination? You know, these are all wonderful things. Well, if we will take out paper and pen, and just start drawing. Just start doing, if you're attending a meeting like here, if you were just sitting there and drawing on a sheet of paper while you're listening and drawing the things that you're hearing, you might find that you come up with some pretty interesting ideas, pretty sound ideas and powerful ideas. I was in Nigeria, and two of the people in Nigeria were doing a lot of note-taking and also doing a lot of drawing. And I noticed their drawings. One guy came from the Cameroon, and he drew quite nicely. And I said to him, I said, you know, you got a lot of talent. Oh, no. He said, I just draw for the fun of it. And I said, well, start drawing for the love of it, and you'll find that you can do some great things. And since then, he has done a lot more. And his girlfriend went to the Abuja, and she is singing in his rock group up there. But he's still drawing and still doing some nice things. Now, will something come of it? Maybe. Maybe not. Do you think that his drawing makes him more stable? Oh, yes. It makes him much more stable because he is expressing himself. He has a medium. He doesn't have to do it only through his music. And, of course, his music is another area of talent. And as an area of talent, that's quite beautiful. Now, I didn't quite buy his music. It wasn't my thing. But it was the thing of a lot of other people. And I never judge another man's music because he might not like my classical music. And that's perfectly understandable. But we live in a world where we have the opportunity to be artists, to be geniuses, to be magical people. And like we say here, I am the artist of my creation and of myself. With wisdom, I think a thought, and with skill, I craft a scene in which the thought is fulfilled. With universal oneness, I show forth the genius from within me. How do you show the genius in you? How do you show the genius in you? Yes? That's the way you do it? Oh, that's great. So, Iwobe shows the genius in him by his creative moving of paper around, squaring it out, and writing. Writing, too. Writing well. And at 8 years old, that's fine. He's coming along just beautiful. But he will probably come along a lot faster when he doesn't follow somebody else's direction and just follows his own and goes, which we all can do. Now, what is your talent? What is your genius in? What's your skill in? Have you thought of it at all, or have you tried it? Have you checked it out? Have you ever painted or wrote music or danced or whatever? Have you done any of those things ever? And sure, you've done it. But how did you do it? Did you do it with the joy of it? Would you do it with the abandonment and the freedom of it? Because that's really an artist at work. An artist is totally free, abandoning all traditions and just going and flowing with it. And we don't always understand that. And we think that they're kind of silly and they're kind of way out. But they are really expressing their genius. They're expressing the magic of their soul. And expressing the magic of their soul, they're doing some very wonderful things, very powerful things. How do we begin to do it? Now, if we were each to take a paper right now and draw the head of Ibube here, and if we were to draw his head, we would come up with some very interesting ideas. Are you going to draw what you see, or are you going to draw what you feel, or are you going to draw what sort of emotion he's showing, or what are you going to draw? You know, how are you going to draw it, and what are you going? How are you going to express it? Will I sense what you sense? And of course, that's part of the art. When you can sense what the artist feels, then you're doing pretty well. That is, the artist is doing pretty well. We want to find out what some of our talents are. Now, what sort of talents do you have?
Oh, none.
None?
No.
I'm sorry, say again, son. Ibube?
Oh,
no. What did he say?
It says lots.
Talk properly.
Yes.
It said lots, but you have to stem them. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, number one.
We have to stem. Number one.
Yes. Which one?
Number one is.
Yeah. Talk it. Say it.
Number one's swimming. Number one's. No. Number one's purple.
Yeah, can you draw?
Can you draw?
Yes.
Can you write? Ibube, can you write?
Yes.
Can you can draw? Those are great talents. Can you take a picture with a camera?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, you do all the time, don't you? Every time you get your hands on a camera. You're taking pictures, aren't you? Are some of the pictures very good? Do you think what you want on the picture before you snap it? Or do you just snap?
No,
you just snap. Well, that's a way to start. Okay. Now, do you like to dance, Ibube?
Ibube.
Hmm?
Yeah, I want to dance in school.
Yeah. What's that guy's name on television?
What's the name on the television you dance, when you dance, all those people?
Mr. Something, no. He's a bear.
Oh, Bunny.
Huh?
Is he Bunny?
That was when I was little.
Bunny.
Buddy?
Bunny. Yeah.
Bunny?
Yeah.
Bunny Bear?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I don't watch them, so I don't see them. But Bunny Bear. Okay. Now, can you dance like Bunny Bear?
Okay.
See, he right away wants to give us an illustration. He has no inhibitions on this sort of thing. Yeah. And that's what an artist does. An artist has no inhibition, just gets up and shares and does what they feel is right. Now, are you good? He shakes his head yes. Can you say yes out loud? Let me hear it over
yes.
here. Thank you. Over here.
Yes.
Loud.
Yes.
That's good. Very good. Now, you see, this is what we want to do. We want to be uninhibited in expressing our artistic talents, and we don't have to show them to anybody else. We can dance for ourselves in the living room if we wish, you know. We don't have to dance so other people see us dance, and then we have fun. And maybe we have a friend come over, and they too want to dance, and so we dance with them in the privacy of our home. And nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Now, how many dances have you had in your house, Seville? I think you had almost 1,000 with all the children that come to your house.
Yes.
And they're always dancing, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm dancing too.
And you're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And are you a pretty good dancer?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Now, you see, that's confidence. Yes, I'm a pretty good dancer. Now, would you be shy about standing up before other people and dancing?
No.
Good for you. Good for you. Do you hear that? That's terrific. And why not? Because I am doing it for
myself.
And I don't care if anybody sees it or doesn't see it. If anyone judges me or doesn't judge, I'm doing it for myself. I was in Lugano, and we had done a number of lectures. And my sponsor of the program, she and her husband took us out to dinner. And we were in a nightclub, and we met this girl who was there also. And she's a very exquisite dancer. She's a professional dancer. And so he and his wife danced, and they said, I should dance with this girl. A professional dancer, how about that, you know? So we got up and danced. Do you know that I'm damn good? I am fabulous. She is a professional dancer, and she knows how to make me look good. I danced with her things I had never done in my life. And she sort of put a little pressure on my hand here and there to guide me to do what she wanted me to do, not what I want to do. And I'm glad I did it because it was great. And we came off the floor after several dances, and people said, my gosh, you make a wonderful couple, you know. Are you dancing together professionally, you know? And I knew it was her, not me. Yeah. But I joined in the fun. Oh, yes, yes, we do this all the time. Whenever we see each other, we do this. And which is true. And we've only seen each other once, and we danced. And we danced a lot. We had a good time. But you see, this is what talent is. This is what skill is. You say, well, that's not really anything to do with being an artist or being talented. Well, that is. What's the first thing an artist does? He learns to let the genius within him out. When Michelangelo found that piece of rock, of granite, of marble, that all the other artists refused because it was too imperfect, he took it and he found in it what? He found in it the statue David. Yes. The magnificent statue. And he didn't make any bones. It wasn't a matter of hard work. He just let loose the genius in him and in the statue. And both came alive. And that statue today is one of the most famous statues in the entire world. Not because the figure is so good. It's just a naked man. And he's just standing there. And he's holding a hand up like this here. But it's the feeling in the face, in the body, in the arms, in the whole statue. You look at that statue and you have to say, how beautiful. You're not looking at what sexy is. You're looking at how beautiful the statue is. And it's glorious. Now, he has many others like that. And they're just glorious. And you look at them and you see the great beauty that he can draw out of them because it's in him, as he did the Sistine Chapel in painting, as he did with the Pietà, with Jesus being in the arms of his mother after his crucifixion. You know, it's not what happened, but it's what he painted. That is what he sculpted. He decided what he was going to do, and he took it from his own imagination, his own creativity, and it's one of the most poignant, beautiful Jesus statue. That's a statue that should be in every church, you know.
That's true.
Because that's the statue of the love of his mother for him in doing what he was doing, you know, rather than the cross thing, you know. But that's something else again. A true artist puts himself in his art. And that's why each of you are a true artist, but you haven't found what you want to put yourself in. Now, there is an artist. You must agree with me on this. There is an artist. I'm being slow in giving you the answer. Okay. There is an artist as a cook, as a chef, okay, as a baker. An artist that makes beautiful cakes, really beautiful cakes that just always good tasting cakes. Not too sweet, not too, you know, a little too much. Just great. And then there's another artist. An artist who makes meals, you know. spaghetti, the special Italian spaghettis that they like to have, you know. Or, I don't know what your features are here in England, but I'm sure you have different food dishes that are special here in England to you. And they're not popular around the world because it has not, we did not grow up with it. And then you have the French chefs who are famous for their cuisine and their chefs. But they're geniuses and they're artists. And they're really as much an artist as Michelangelo, as much an artist as Leonardo da Vinci or any of the great artists who did paintings and sculpting. But find something that turns you on. Find something that makes you an artist. When I was a high school kid and college, I attended art classes, and one of them, they had us make a sculpture. And I made a sculpture of a horse and a man on the horse. And it was very good. I copied the picture from the book, you know. And it was a still life, and it was very nice, very, very good. And it won a couple of awards, and it was just really fantastic. Well, I never did anything else. But I put my whole self into that and won. I did do some other things, but they were nothing to write home about. But to be an artist is just to let yourself go. Let yourself be and let yourself express in the magic and the genius that you were. Catherine Graham had her ballet dance studio in Milwaukee, and I was at the YMCA, and I was a member of the Y there, and I was swimming there, and these guys were swimming too, and they said to me, come, you know, see what Martha Graham does. So I went up and watched how Martha Graham in the gymnasium was teaching the kids how to dance, and teaching it was from her own staff who were putting on a theater in town. And so they asked me to dance with them. And I knew nothing about it, but I had fun. I followed them, and they liked local talent there. I don't know about talent, but local bodies. And so I danced with the Martha Graham group for, oh, maybe a week or two. And it was just a great and thrilling experience. And I felt so good when I danced with them because I did what they did. I didn't have any training in ballet. I didn't have any training in any of that stuff. I just watched them. I was in the second row. And so I was watching and doing everything they did. And it was fun. It was a release of everything that's good inside of you when you let go and you dance and you do these things. And you guys might be great dancers too. You might find great opportunities to express there. Now, how are you going to do it? How are you going to find that talent within you that shows you got more to you than just being a pretty lady and pretty man, you know, or a handsome man, you know. There's more to you than that. How are you going to find it? You got any suggestions? How are you going to find it? Yes, Chrissy?
By dancing before your mirror.
By what?
Dancing before your mirror.
Yes. And that's enough.
Yeah.
Dancing before your mirror and looking at yourself and saying, oh, this is fun. Not, aren't I good? I'm so fantastic. This is fun. Be yourself and having fun. And you're letting go, and you even do silly leg movements and stuff like that. And you think to yourself, if anybody saw me, they'd laugh. And that's okay. That's okay. But just always be yourself. Be yourself. And look at yourself in the mirror and compliment yourself. Yes. I mean, maybe all of you isn't the way you'd like to have it be. You might have a bump here and there, a little extra little mud stuff here. But forget that. You're strong. Now look at, he is heavier than I am, and yet he gets up off of these chairs much more gracefully than I do. Now, why is that? He's used to sitting on soft chairs, and
yes.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not used to sitting on soft chairs and getting up from. I'm used to getting up from a chair that's about so high. And when you do, you're halfway up, you know. But when you're down on these things, it takes a little more genius like you have, and that's great. What sort of talents do you have that you can think of?
Well, I dance very well.
You dance very well.
I used to do demonstration dancing, in fact.
Oh, great.
When I was in the university. Yeah.
Great, great.
And that's a long, long time ago.
Who knows what would happen if you started again? Now, you know...
Revival.
What?
Revival.
Revolver, huh?
Yeah, he will revive.
Yeah.
Reviver.
Yeah.
Yeah, he revive you. The thing is, if you start doing some of those things now, and doing it just for the fun of it, and for yourself in front of your mirror, so to speak, you get to feel good. And then you'll go to a restaurant or a bar someplace where they have that dancing, and you'll take someone along who tolerates you. not who wants you, but who tolerates you and just sort of gets along. And so the two of you would go out and dance. Or you might go down and hire a professional dancer of that dance that you like and have her show you a few steps today and then go out and dance at a dance place that they might have for it. And I'm sure they have places here in England where you can go dancing. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, when we start taking our talents and start putting them out, start developing them, we are opening a channel of meditation that is so spectacular and so wonderful that it helps all the other areas. We're not working in a single channel of meditation. We're not working in a single channel of releasing our genius, of opening the channel of who we are. We're working in many channels. And so the more that we work in it, the more that we try out things, the better it is, you know? It's fantastic. Yeah. What sort of other talent do you think you might have besides dancing?
I cook very well.
You what?
Cook.
Cook? Well,
yeah, I
hope to kiss a pig. If you're a good cook, the next time I come over here, I expect you're going to put on a chef for us.
The Nigerian foods, like cooking soup. So, yeah.
No, right, really.
I used to do them when I was small.
Hot stuff?
Yeah, hot food.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no.
So I will bring my own, huh?
No, you can eat it.
You know how to...
There'll be no pepper.
You know how to make it without pepper, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I always have to say when I go in Mexico, I say, I'm a gringo. Uh-huh. And I like it that hot. Yeah. And they give it to me that hot. But... many of my friends, they go there, they're so hot, you like fire out of their mouth. But they love it. And I guess hot foods can be good for you. Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hot foods can be good for you?
Yeah.
It's good.
Why?
Because the peppers release the humus.
The pepper what?
Release the humus. You know
releases the humor?
Hormones.
When you take these peppers.
Oh. And this makes your body more alive, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Well,
if you have
stimulant.
If you're raised with it, it's not so bad.
Yeah. If you have a congested nose,
yeah,
and you eat
a nasal
it, just clears it.
Now, Ingeborg loves cayenne pepper, and we have cayenne pepper around the house. And we used to use that in the cayenne pepper diet, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting. Like medication almost, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
And now, it has a lot of vitamin A.
Vitamin A?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very rich.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. And now what is vitamin A good for besides your eyes? What is vitamin A's primary purpose? Eyes, I guess, huh?
Eyes,
yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And do you have any other interests?
No, the other interest I have, but it wasn't didn't develop is...
You what?
The other interest I would have liked to develop is just laziness. It's playing the piano, because I have a piano that I would like to play.
Well...
But my argument is that I have instruments that play the music.
Yes. But that's often a misleading thing, but that's not the fun.
No,
the fun is playing it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, What you could do, do you have any neighbor children who play the piano? Neighbor children?
No, my sister-in-law's children play the piano. But
yeah, but I'm talking about close by neighbor children. Oh, no. You have any neighbor children who play the piano? No. Find out.
Yeah.
And if some neighbor child who is maybe 12 or 14 years old plays the piano, have them come and give you instructions. Really.
Yeah.
And it's not that they know how to instruct you or not know how to instruct you. There's only one way to do it.
Yeah.
You follow the book, you know, and you go by the book and go by the edge. But if she came over twice a week and gave you a lesson, you would be inspired to do something with it and to show her how well you learn, or him, you know.
Yeah. I've got even an adult to teach me. But my argument is, if I want to play Mozart, all right?
Modern.
No, if I want to play Mozart.
Mozart.
I've got Mozart music.
Yeah.
I've got an instrument that bring out all the strings when I hear them. So there's no way I'm going to play it, you know, to compare with what I'm hearing.
Well,
you know,
if you're going to say, I am a genius and I am expressing my genius right now, then you best sit down and meditate a little bit and say, I am a genius and I'm expressing my genius right now. And you will.
Yes.
You will. Or you know how to get on YouTube on your computer, don't you?
Not yet.
All right. I've sent you... I think I've sent you how to get on my thing on the YouTube.
Yes.
And how to get on that one, you know, where you have that 3D photography thing.
Yeah. Yes.
I think I've got that too. But I'll see that you get it. And then you bring it up. And then when you bring it up, you bring up all sorts of other things too.
Yes.
And what you want to do, at least what I want you to do, is to go where it says... the great talents of children. And then you watch how these little children at the age of two or three are playing the piano.
Yes.
Now, don't expect to play that good, but they're two or three years old. They're playing the piano, and what they're doing is they're playing it intuitively.
Yes.
Now, you don't want to learn how to play it by ear, because it's awful hard on your ears. No, you don't want to play it by ear. You want to play it with knowledge of the keys.
Yes.
Because then you're free. If you play it by ear, then you're limited to how your intake is. But now many of these children, they hear a piece of music once, and then they play it on the piano and are exquisite.
Yes.
And then they play it twice after they hear it once or twice, and they're even better because they put their transliteration in there and interpretation and do a beautiful job. But I just recommend, hey, you know, if you don't do something about this, time's going to fly by very quick. And you're not going to have that talent. And you want to be able to play this music when you go to your kids' barbecues and stuff like that. We've had a lot of, like President Truman, after President Roosevelt in the United States, he played the piano, and he played a number of pieces. Okay, he was not anything special, and his daughter was a pianist. And so, while he was in the White House, he promoted his daughter and got her to play in Carnegie Hall and all sorts of places she didn't belong, and she never did belong. But at least I love it. I mean, here's a daddy doing what he can for his kid, with his high and mighty place as president of the United States. Well, what the hell? Why not? You know. Really, and I think that's just wonderful. And she's now married some fine person, and she's a fine woman, no matter what. But she is not a pianist, although she plays very well. Do that, and you guys do too. You come home after spending so many hours. Now, do you mean to say that you work from sunup to sunset at the hospital? And you have no pause? No pause, no breaks?
I work with my breaks.
I'm sorry?
I work with my breaks, sitting in the computer, doing my work.
Why do you work it if you're going to do that, you're going to always need to do that. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, but I'm just saying if you do, you'll always need to do that.
I'm trying to wind down.
Because you walk, we'll never finish.
But you see, you just tell your supervisors you want a bigger office, and you want to have a piano in your office, and you want some person on staff who knows how to play the piano to spend an hour with you every day teaching you piano, or whatever you want to do.
And in the hospital, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
They wouldn't put a piano.
No, they'll do gym, organizing gym.
Yeah.
Gym, doing gymnastics, so it might be dancing, exercise.
He said they wouldn't let you have a piano?
No.
No,
in the hospital area.
Now, just a minute. Said, I'm barking up your tree.
Yeah.
All you have to do is get a wonderful piano and put your earphones on it. And they don't complain a little bit.
No,
but you see, you have to say a possibility.
Yeah.
So you have your earphones on it. And you have two sets of earphones, one for your instructor and one for you.
Yeah.
And you can bat away and boom away. And nobody be bothered. It could be right next to your desk. It could even be on your desk. We have a little electronic piano which has all the music and all the orchestration.
Yes.
It's about so big. You saw that one in Ellen's house. It's about so big, and it's about so high, and so on. And it's got legs and so forth, but you don't have to have the legs. But you can have that on your desk. And then you play it when you want to, and not when you don't. Now, if the piano is your thing, now maybe it's not your thing. And if it's not your thing, all the pushing in the world isn't going to make it your thing. But
it's a very nice pastime.
Yeah, be creative.
Yeah.
And it is a good pastime.
Yeah.
Why is it a good pastime? Can you tell him?
It
yes.
It actually relaxes you.
It's relaxing.
Yeah.
And?
You concentrate.
You feel you've accomplished something.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You feel that you're playing some good music, and you may play the same piece all year long until you got it down pat. But the thing is, you do it, and it's good for you.
Yeah.
This is developing your inner skills, developing your inner meditative ability, and it's beautiful. And, of course, if you don't have a piano, get yourself a nice piano. Which
I have a piano.
You have. And
yeah.
Is it connected to electricity?
No.
It's just a standard piano.
Yeah, the standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My daughter
that's good.
Many years ago.
Well, you see, I know a great deal about this. A great deal. My mother was a pianist, and she played for the movie houses in Milwaukee. In the silent film. When the silent films were there, they had to have, and then the action comes. You know, they had to play the music mood for all the mood of the music. And mother played that. And then my one sister played piano pretty well. And the other sister thought she played clarinet a little bit, but she wasn't too good. And then I played clarinet and sax. And then my older brother played flute. And so we all played something or other and had a lot of fun. Not together because we couldn't stand each other. But we played with friends and we did. And I also played the baritone. I played some pretty fascinating instruments. But find what you can do. And it may not be music. It may not. It may be something totally different. Now, I don't know whether his thing, I don't know, might like going to rest homes and visiting with the people in the rest home and giving them positive thoughts and uplifting them with positive attitudes. Or maybe you might get yourself a rescue dog and go to the rescue homes, that is to the and take a dog in there and let them play with the dog and get to know the dog and feel better about it. I mean, that's just a possibility.
Yeah.
But think of something where you could use your talent and use your genius, you know. It's just wonderful. One woman in the magazine recently, she had a dog, It was a nice Labrador, black Labrador. And she took the dog to the hospitals and all these places. The dog was fantastic, and the hospitals were fantastic, and the people just picked up when they saw the dog coming. She even puts costumes on the dog sometimes, you know. But she had a good time. Then the dog went blind. And they thought, what can she do now? And she would go to the hospital, and the dog would not let her get out of the yard. He'd get in front of her car so she couldn't drive out of the driveway. And so she said, all right, he is already an approved dog. I'll take him with me in the car and take him to the hospital and see what he does. She took that dog to the hospital, and that dog went to every person who was blind and, you know, made up with the people who were blind. And all these blind people, no dogs came to them particularly, you know, and certainly not because they were blind. But this dog did, and that dog became so famous in that hospital for treating the blind and making the blind people feel like there was something to live for, you know, there was something in life. And it was so beautiful. I thought to myself, you just never know. I mean, she wanted to do what was right for the dog because the dog was blind and couldn't go anymore. But the dog says, I'm not dead. I want to go. I want to go do my job. I know my job, you know. But the dog sensed when the people were blind, which she could never have guessed, and went to those people. That's really quite beautiful, you know. Now, so you're getting old. You're 25, now you're going on 26. Now, before you get too old and don't change your interests, follow what your heart tells you. Do what your heart says is fun to do. And your heart might say it's fun just to be at home and write poetry, you know? And if you want to write poetry, you can get a rhyming dictionary. You can get a poetry dictionary on your computer and just have a lot of fun if you want to. Or you can work in languages, you know. What languages do you know? English and Swahili, Nigerian, and what do you know, you know? How might you apply that? Why not? Now, you went out in front of the king, and you and Sam sang in your own language, in your dialect. You know, what did you sing?
I bless Nigeria.
I bless Nigeria, land that I
love.
I stand beside her.
And guide her.
And don't ad lib, please. You're messing up the song. I stand beside her and guide her with the night from the hope. Okay, now. Perhaps, and you wanted to put it in the dialect of the major dialect for Nigeria. Was it a major or just your local dialect?
Local.
Your local dialect, okay. So that's not too bad. How many people live in your local area, approximately? 10,000? 50,000? 100,000? Million?
Million.
Huh?
You said million.
Million?
Mm-hmm. Millions.
Millions. Oh, millions. Well, that's enough to prepare that song in your dialect that goes to millions. That's not bad, you know. And then get it on the radio or get it on the television and put it on record and then send it out to the people and get with your legislators in that area and tell them what you're doing. And they'll say, oh, my. We'll make that our national anthem or something, you know. But regarding, you're not a musician, you're not a poet, you're not a promoter, but you have something that is a gift. You have the ability to translate to your own dialect something significant. And certainly the poetry of that song is beautiful, and everybody knows the music. So it would be no problem at all to promote it. But now, it's up to you. I'm not trying to make you work. I'm just trying to suggest that you find your talents and express them. And that would be kind of satisfying. having the people of your area sing a song in their own dialect that you recommended to them, right?
Yes.
It'd be kind of satisfying. And there's no work to it once it's done, you know. But that'd be fun.
Yes.
And maybe you have some woozy-toozy Nigerian woman or man that's really a wing-dinger of an Elvis Presley singer or something, you know. You know, a singer for our time, their time.
But they have plenty in Owerri.
What's that?
The singers.
Yeah?
They have many of them in Owerri.
No, but what I mean is a popular one on television and radio in that area.
Yeah.
You know, who would sing it for you? You might have to pay them or something, yeah. But sing it and then make it, maybe even sing it and make it popular in the dialect.
Make an album.
Yeah.
An album, yeah, right. That'd be beautiful. But you see, those are all... I'm only suggesting ways of opening up your inner genius, yes. Your inner talent, your inner meditative quality to accomplish something that would be fun. Now, hymn dancing is fun. Piano is fun. Cooking is fun. Did you hear him mention anything that wasn't fun?
No.
No. You see, this is what it's all about. And this is what you want to do, is do whatever it is that's fun and do it now. You know, you are loaded with ideas, all of you. You are loaded with possibility of beautiful things to do. If you don't get busy and do them, they'll never get done because you're going to be loaded with new ideas. As time goes on, you're going to keep having newer and newer and more fun ideas. And then those first ones that you didn't do will just languish and never be. So maybe it's the time to do it and have fun with it. But always remember, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. And it's not a matter you can't play a piano in a hospital, you know, place. Because you can always have earphones. The modern day, you can even have it on your computer. You know? But here's the thing, too. You can buy a program, not very much money, under $100, I think. You can buy a program which will take your piano piece and put it onto the computer, and put it on sheet, like sheet music, yeah. And type in the words and everything else. Plus, it'll have a playing of the music in the background and singing of it for as one package. Yes. It's amazing what they have available these days. And that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That way people would have it to play in their groups, and they'd have it to hear and sing and everything. My goodness. Wouldn't Sam be proud of you? Yeah.
He is.
He's a politician, you know. Yeah, he's a politician. But that's great. That's great. We want to do what makes us happy, what thrills us. And just because it thrills Sam too, that's okay. But we're doing it because it thrills us and makes us happy. And you don't have to worry about that king. He's not there anymore. You got a new one.
Of course, yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Yeah. And the new one already knows about the song and already knows about you.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Through your Stanislaus. Yeah. Stanislaus Dyck.
Dyck.
Hmm?
Dyck.
He wanted to pronounce it Deke or something.
Deke.
Deacon.
Deacon Trent.
Why did he want to pronounce it that way? I know it's a dialect.
Yeah, that's a dialect.
Hmm?
That's a dialect.
Yeah.
Deacon.
Yeah, I was talking to some people in the church meeting, and they said, oh, they should employ you at the employment agency. You know, people looking for jobs. Because I said, most of the people, they are too afraid even to get a job before they reach there. You know, I was explaining to the people around, they complain their children, they have job and that and that and that. You know, and
the examples they gave, it just that the children weren't prepared to walk. You know, this one said, oh, I'm an artist, I must do artist job. So I said, but you've already closed your system before you reach the place. You told them what job to give you. You don't have an open mind to go and look for a job. They say you are going to look for a job. And then you have to go looking for a job. You stay in your house and say, I want to be an artist. If I don't, I'm not an artist. I say, that's why you won't get, you are staying at home. You have to open your mind. And there's a lady there whose son is an artist. And then he became redundant. And of course, she went and told the son what I said. He said, open your mind to have a job. Don't just fix to one job. You eventually get the job you want. And the son got a job, not as an artist, and started doing the job. After some months, she got the job she wanted, you know. And we started discussing the principle. I said, the principle is very simple. It's open your mind to job. You want to work, right? And you say you want this type of work. You don't know how you get there. But when you say, this one comes, you say, no, I don't want this one. I don't want this one. This is the one I want. You
know? Yeah. Everybody could work if they wanted to.
Yes.
Yeah, but people have desires for working in certain areas,
yeah,
and that's not always available.
That's it.
So you have to work in areas that are available. And you probably would like it anyhow.
Because yeah, sometimes people work things they don't like.
Yeah.
Because they are just working. They don't like the job, and they are there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Just going to earn money.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
For something you do every day, you have to like it.
Is that a great swimmer?
Yeah, I'm a good swimmer.
Yes, you are. You're a great swimmer. Okay. Any other comments on this? That gave us a lot of good stuff to think about and a lot of good ideas to consider, because that's what it's all about. I'm the artist of my creation and of myself. With wisdom, I think a thought, and with skill, I craft a scene in which the thought is fulfilled. With universal awareness, I show forth the genius from within me. It's nice. That's what each of you can do.
Yes.
Now, I got each one of you to say yes. Maybe. So, okay, well, we'll take a pause and come back for our discussion. And then our next lecture will be the techniques. I constantly rest in my inner self and see myself, my family, my neighbors, my community, my world, all peace. And that will be a symbol to peace. So, but we'll have our discussion when we come back at about 10 after 3.